Blog Talk Radio.
Deeper truth, our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. Let us start with the Our Father. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in temptationem. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, sacred is your word, your kingdom come, your words be heard on earth as they are in heaven. Give us today your sacred word, forgive our neglect of it in the past, as we forgive those who neglect us. Lead us towards an encounter with you each time we delve into the scriptures, for your presence, your power, and your glory are ever present among us now and forever. Amen. Father, we beg your blessings for the right to life, the unborn, the weak, the sick, and the old. All who are finding themselves being targets of the vicious culture of death, that our Lord Jesus bless and protect all those who stand up for the Christian dignity of persons, that God enlighten those who are traveling down death's highway by their involvement in any way with either the contemporary death culture, selfism, relativism, or any of the New Age errors of our times, that God envelop our culture with his divine protection and help us both individually and as a nation to true enlightenment, conversion and repentance of ourselves and our culture. Help us to turn from our national sin of abortion and return to and once again become a Christian nation. On the narrow road, that is, the path to becoming a nation and culture under God. Amen. I believe that your divine Son became man, died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, and who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Let us begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And today is Holy Thursday, evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. Of the Lord's Supper on April the 6th, 2023, Feast of St. Crescentia Hayes. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus 12, 1 through 8, 11 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share in the lamb, in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. And then with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat it like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate, with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution. A responsorial psalm. Psalm 116, 12-13, 15-16 B.C., and 17-18. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful one. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people. Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. The second reading, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Verse before the gospel, John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, says the Lord, love one another as I have loved you. The gospel according to John 13:1-15. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world and had loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel, he tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do."
ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the Saint of the Day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
And today it's Kathy with Deeper Truth sitting in for Donald as he recovers. Saint of the day today is Saint Crescentia Hess. She was born on October 20th, 1682 in Kaufbeuren, a little town in the Diocese of Augsburg. Her father, Matthias Hess, a simple weaver, was barely able, in spite of diligent work, to provide the necessaries for his family of eight children. But he was a pious Christian, satisfied with his condition, and delighted to think upon the poor life and the bitter suffering of Jesus Christ. The mother bore a tender love for the sick and poor. She spent playtime praying in the parish church, assisted those even poorer than herself, and had so mastered the truth of her religion that she was permitted to make her first Holy Communion at the then unusually early age of 7. At an early age, Crescentia Hess was so thoroughly instructed in the truth of her religion that her spiritual director permitted her to go to Holy Communion at the age of 7. Her answers in catechism class are sometimes filled with such depth of meaning that she said, "My child, you must surely have a higher teacher." Crescentia was born in 1682, the daughter of a poor weaver, in a little town near Augsburg. She spent playtime praying in the parish church, assisted those even poorer than herself, and had so mastered the truth of her religion that she was permitted to make her first Holy Communion at the then unusually early age of 7. In the town, she was called the Little Angel. As she grew older, she desired to enter the convent of the Tertiaries of St. Francis. But the convent was poor, and because Crescentia had no dowry, the superiors refused her admission. Her case was then pleaded by the Protestant mayor of the town, to whom the convent owed a favor. The community felt it was forced into receiving her, and her new life was made miserable. She was considered a burden and assigned nothing other than menial tasks. Even her cheerful spirit was misinterpreted as flattery or hypocrisy. Throughout her life, Crescentia had a special devotion to the Holy Spirit. She envisioned the Holy Spirit as neither man nor woman, but as a youth dressed in a flowing white gown. Her vision was painted in 1728 by Joseph Ruffini. Crescentia's hope was that the Holy Spirit would be more accessible if seen in a human form. With the kind permission of the German publisher Joseph Finck and the author Karl Pernbacher, St. Crescentia's story has been translated into English. Conditions improved 4 years later when a new superior was elected who realized her virtue. Crescentia herself was appointed mistress of novices. She so won the love and respect of the sisters that, upon the death of the superior, Crescentia was unanimously elected to that position. Under her, the financial state of the convent improved, and her reputation in spiritual matters spread. She was soon being consulted by princes and princesses. Bishops and cardinals, too, sought her advice. And yet, a true daughter of Francis, she remained ever humble. As Crescentia became known in her region, she began receiving requests for advice from priests, aristocracy, and women of all levels of society. Her responses always stress the need for prayer, but also encourage the petitioner to do everything possible to resolve the issue. For her part, Crescentia offers useful advice to the petitioner. Bodily afflictions and pain were always with her. First it was headaches and toothaches. Then she lost the ability to walk, her hands and feet gradually becoming so crippled that her body curled up into a fetal position. In the spirit of Francis, she cried out, "Oh, you bodily members, praise God that he has given you the capacity to suffer." Despite her suffering, she was filled with peace and joy as she died on Easter Sunday in 1744. Grant, O God, that love and suffering may grow hand in hand in me, so that I may love you more and more with a cheerful disposition, which is the fruit of love. In her 3 years as superior of the community of Meyerhof, she became its second foundress. She justified her selectivity regarding vocation, saying, "God wants the convent rich in virtue, not in temporal goods." The principal points of her program for the renewal of the house were unlimited trust in divine providence, readiness in the acts of the common life, love of silence, devotion to Jesus crucified, and devotion to the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother. She died on Easter in 1744, and her mortal remains are still very much venerated in the chapel of her monastery. She was beatified in 1900 and canonized by Pope John Paul II in 2001. The liturgical feast of St. Crescentia is celebrated on June 15th. Let us close. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome, Donald.
We'll talk later, but thank you so much.
No problem.
I'll play a song.
Okay.
15th, one of the 15 Stations of the Cross. By Donna Corey Gibson, the first one.
The first station, Jesus is condemned to death. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
And thank you, Kathy. As we pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy and all those who are in need of prayer, day Jesus established the Mass. Make the Mass the center of your life. Center of the covenant. And our hope is present.